Hey, this is Pastor David. Thanks for plugging in today. I believe that this word from God will encourage you, challenge you, and help direct you toward your destiny. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and understanding, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Let's get right into the word.
There's no one like our God, no one at all. Gave his son for us, Jesus the Lord. Who can love us like he does? No one at all. Oh, how we love you, Lord.
Welcome, friends and family, to this episode of Daily Bread. I'm here in the podcasting studio with the lovely, talented, beautiful Pastor Tanya.
Hey, everyone.
And Ceviche, the freckle-faced fish, to talk about the message, Roar Like a Lion. If you missed it, you can find a link in the description below. And as always, we encourage you to explore the archive of relevant teaching at Strong Towers Ministry on the YouTubes. In your message, you described Jesus as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I love that. I love picturing Jesus as the Lion. And that we, the children of God, become a part of his pride of lions. Mm-hmm. And you got to go back, if nothing else, go back and look at the picture that Pastor Tanya picked to put as this pride of lions. It's this dude, lion, right? And then like these three or four lions behind him, and they're just like looking for a fight.
They're ready.
Yeah, they're looking tough. It seems obvious that the most successful prides work together as a cohesive team. And if we are to walk in victory, it is vital that we create or cultivate this type of family. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes without saying that not everyone grew up with a good example of family, mm-hmm. As sad as it is to say. And even if we were fortunate enough to have a good family, we still suffer the effects of sin nature, which have no doubt bled into the family unit. And God so graciously provides us a new family, his family. The trouble is, I end up bringing some of the junk from my previous life into this new life. And when that happens, the victorious life that God promises seems to be more of a pipe dream than an actual reality. Can you share with our listeners some things that we can do to cultivate the family of God?
That's so hard when we struggle with our own stuff, our own past stuff. And I think in order to cultivate family, it's to recognize that family is your safe space. And so when you have that struggle or you're dealing with something past, like talk about it. Talk about it. Because when you start talking about those struggles or when you start exposing these old things or, you know, I think this way because this happened in my past, when you start exposing these things with your family, it immediately disarms your enemy. That's why it's so hard. That's why the things of God seems like such a pipe dream, because your enemy is using these old things to try to trip you up and to try to hang you back, to try to make you afraid to push forward or to try to make you push through it. But if you can talk about these struggles, then you can deal with them. And that pulls away any power that the enemy might have had trying to use these struggles against you. So expose them, talk about them. Your family is a safe place.
Let me draw on that just a little bit, because you have a really awesome family, and your family really, in my opinion, does family well. And I hear a lot of your advice coming from that perspective. So I heard you say that you're realize that your family is your safe space. What if I grew up in an environment when my family wasn't my safe space? How do I get to the point where I'm trusting this family of God like I should be able to trust my family?
My cousin likes to say, nothing to it, just to do it, is to take a chance. Your family may not have been that, but let God prove himself. Take the risk. Let God prove himself. He always does. He always will. You're not trusting the people. You're trusting the Lord. And take those steps and start trusting the Lord with these things. Bring those things to him first. If they're doing something to you, if they're making you bitter, for instance, bring that to him. Lord, I have got bitterness in me. I think it's because of this, but God, work with me through this, and he will. Let him prove himself to you. I think being part of a family where somebody is struggling with that, it's up to us in cultivating this family to understand that people coming in are coming in raw. They're coming in scraped and raw and hurty. And so as family that surrounds, we need to understand that and to approach them as such, to approach gently, with kindness, with love, with compassion, with understanding, with the word at the top of our heart, especially the word in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are alive in Christ Jesus. And to remind those struggling with condemnation, hey man, God doesn't hold that against you. And if God's not holding that against you, I'm not holding that against you. We can't go back and change the past. That person's dead. What we can do is change the future of the new person walking. And let's go forward in Christ. Let's go forward in the Lord. And you know what? I'm with you the whole way. We may both fall, but we're both going to be together to get back up and to call each other into this walk because we got this. Understanding that people are raw really cultivates the family dynamic and makes somebody who didn't come up in a safe family, it really gives them that safety net that they crave. And then for us to cultivate family, we got to be real with each other. And in the family space, God's going to poke us. He's going to poke us in some places. And in front of our family, man, we've got to let him. We've got to let him do that and not run and not try to hide it on our own, but let him touch the places that we need and work through it with him and with our family. See, in a close family, things aren't hidden. And so when we can let God poke those hidden things and unearth them, we can grow together as a family.
All those things that you describe are things that I think of when we talk about being real. Mm-hmm. When we're like, hey man, just be real. That word kind of encompasses a lot of idea. But you said you take a risk mm-hmm. on your family, kind of throw the dice out there. You can only be as lovable as you are hurtable. Mm-hmm. You got to take that risk and get yourself out there. Understand that we are raw from the war of this world, and we need to treat each other with a spirit of kindness and a spirit of gentleness, and taking the opportunity to be vulnerable around your brothers and your sisters, mm-hmm. kind of putting yourself out there. All those things to me speak to this idea of just being real. Let's not pretend that life is something other than what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that being real is like we just got to complain about everything or that we have to make drama in our lives, but that we would just be honest about, hey, this is where I'm at and this is what I'm facing. And that's really where the help is.
Yeah.
You know, if you can really present yourself as this is really what's going on in my life. And you know, we're super blessed. We've created a church environment where this has been our reality for many, many years leading into decades. And hard to remember a time in our lives where we didn't have this kind of group. I can't imagine what it would be like to try to navigate this world without a group like we've got.
Yeah. Yeah, God's been amazing and kind, and his hand has been so huge in our church journey.
And I could see if somebody is just like their casual church goer, they just show up on Sunday, listen to a message and leave, how they're not really reaping the benefit of that, I hate to use this buzzword, but of that community. Because mm-hmm. there really is something to say about an honest community of believers. And I know it's so much more than a buzzword. When you actually experience it, there's groups that are trying to create it and groups that have it.
Yeah, you can't force it, you know? You really can't force it, and there's not a formula that doesn't contain a risk.
It's being real.
It's being real and being raw with each other.
You got to be real.
Yeah.
And being real means it's going to look different. My ministry isn't going to look the same as Redding's ministry.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all going to be relative to the people that you're with.
and the calling that God put on you, living that calling.
In your message, you said that as believers, we don't have to be afraid of the dark, nor do we have to be afraid in dark places. Mm-hmm. These are dark times, and there's no doubt about it. We are living in dark times, and we're told from every worldly angle, and even from the pulpit in some really sad cases, that the darkness is greater than the light. Mm. Thankfully, at Strong Tower, we teach that God has not given us a spirit of fear, and that fear is faith, but it's faith in the enemy. Fear is faith in the negative. How does this realization of walking within a pride of lions, led by the king lion of the tribe of Judah, change how we view an ever-darkening world?
Man, in a sentence, it'll change in our actions of running from the dark into running into the dark. I mentioned in the message that lions, they're made to hunt in the dark. Like, that's part of their divine design, is they are made to hunt in the dark. And so are we. The dark is not something to run away from and be afraid of. It's something to run into. We are light bringers. But not only are we light bringers into dark places, but those dark places are hunting grounds for us. The Bible tells us that if we resist the devil, that he will flee. Look, if he's hiding in the dark, then and we run into it, he's got to run away. If he's got some traps set up in there, if there's some demon things going on, the Bible tells us that we will cast out demons. So we need to run to those places and rid them of those things that are overarching and that are trying to control those places.
So that's what it means for a Christian to hunt in the dark.
Yeah, to cast out demons, to live that overcoming life and to say, hey, this is God's territory and you got no place here. In Christ, we have not just a promise to cast out demons and heal the sick, but we have a mandate to do so. And that's what we are supposed to do. That's what we're created for. So if we're running away from this calling that we are created for, then our enemy is given power and is given terrain that does not belong to him. So we need to, as believers, we need to go take back that territory for the Lord. That belongs to the Lord. And once we enter in, once we can say, you know, in the name of Jesus, be gone. It's not us doing it. I'll preface that because I know somebody's listening going, well, you're not doing it. You're absolutely right. It's Christ in me. Christ in me. That's the power. And I will go unleash that power in dark places. And as when I unleash that power in dark places, the light turns on.
I like that point you made in the message about the documentary you were watching where that the lion's roar can be heard for 5 miles.
It
covers a 5 mile radius. Mm-hmm. And in context with your message, I was just thinking about having a vocal experience with God and actually speaking out loud, making declarations and covering territory. What territory in my life have I given up? Because I've just kept silent about that particular area in my life. I might think, well, that's right at my boundaries. I don't really need to worry about my borders so much. But as a steward, I'm responsible to cover that territory, to keep that territory sanctified, mm-hmm. to keep it clean, to keep God's stuff.
God's stuff, yeah.
And I have to use my voice. And how far does our voice go in the spirit realm? How far does our spiritual voice go? If a physical lion, a reflection of the invisible, if its voice can carry and cover 5 miles of territory, how much more territory can my spiritual voice cover? And how much more important is it that I'm covering that area?
Amen. And isn't that just an encouragement to be bold and to release that roar, to release that voice, to release those declarations and to release the name of Jesus. When we understand that we're light and the darkness cannot overtake the light, we don't hide from the dark. We run into it and we bring the light. We claim that territory. We speak Bible. That's what it is to bring the light, to speak Bible. These are the promises of God. God does not go back on his word. To speak truth into a situation that has been carrying and hovering lies. When we speak truth, that's bringing the light. When we prophesy, when we speak what God sees and we speak it into that situation, we expose lies. Look, when we expose lies for the lie that it is, for the darkness that it is, that darkness dissipates and light reigns. So we, as light bearers, as light bringers, have to run into darkness, not away from it.
Truth is, the darkness is going to be the darkness, whether we run from it or not. Mm-hmm. And we can't partner with it.
No.
We can't partner with the darkness.
Yeah.
And part of that darkness is the world's embrace of iniquity. And Christians shouldn't be surprised or really offended that the world is going to do what the world does. Mm-hmm. The world is going to embrace iniquity. Yet we, keepers of the light, will expose it for what it is.
Yeah.
And I like how you just said that we would speak the truth, because we are really the carriers of the truth. Mm-hmm. Society has embraced this thing called relative truth, where this is what's true for Jimmy, and this is what's true for Jamie, and this is what's true for Brian, and this is what's true for Betty. And so if everybody has their own truth, it means that nobody knows what the truth is.
So confusing.
Nobody knows. But there is a truth, mm-hmm. and we do know it. And the Christians have access to it. The Christians have it. We have the truth. We are keepers of truth. So in one sense, keeping the light is keeping the truth. Mm-hmm. Calling evil things evil, calling good things good, and helping the world to understand that there is a higher calling for humanity, a higher calling for their life, and there is a way to overcome the separation between man and God, and that is Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's the roar.
That is the roar. You also said that we have this mandate to cast out demons, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. So we have this mandate to go and do. And I think Hollywood has done a really good job at painting a picture of a really strong devil and a really weak God. Mm-hmm. And also that the supernatural is spectacular. And it actually isn't all that spectacular. It's actually quite natural seeming. The supernatural, when you start walking in the supernatural, it feels so natural. And there are things in our lives that we don't recognize that are actually demonic possession or demonic oppression. Mm-hmm. And we should be handling those things, not necessarily through medication or counseling or safe spaces or these other methods that we use to quell these demons, but actually hit them from a spiritual eye, hit them from a spiritual perspective. And I was always taught that the natural and the supernatural combined make an explosive force for God. So what does that mean as far as healing goes? Well, we know that God wants us to live in healthy bodies, that he's designed our bodies to be in health, and that our bodies would prosper as our souls prosper. And when our bodies are not prospering, we might need help from the medical community. We might need a pill. We might need a massage. We might need a chiropractic adjustment. We might need help from the physical realm. But we shouldn't just end there. We should also hit that thing from the spiritual side, recognizing that, look, if this isn't from God, then it's from the enemy. And there is a spiritual fight. And I'm mandated to release my roar, to make my declaration, to make my voice heard, and to overcome these adversities.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy how this world has put people in such a victim mentality. It's like cool to be a victim now. There's so many different choices and things you can be a victim of now. And if we embrace that, we are not living the word. The word's called us to be more than overcomers. And it's just crazy to me how even Christians will embrace that victim mentality to get somebody to feel sorry for them instead of to say, no, that's not who I am, and I refuse to live that kind of lifestyle. It's so easy to say Jesus, and there's so much power in the name. And I just don't understand why so many people don't say the name.
Every knee will bow.
Exactly.
There's so much power in the name. Why do you think people use Jesus' name as a curse word and not Sally or
right?
Bill or Jim? It's because there's power in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the message, Roar Like a Lion, which you can find by following the link in the description below. Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Daily Bread. Make sure to explore our archive of messages on YouTube by typing Strong Tower Casper in the search bar.
Thanks again for listening. Without your faithful support, we wouldn't be able to do the work that God has called us to. If you know someone who would be blessed by what you just heard, please pass this along. At Strong Tower, we believe that you are a unique expression of God's love and creativity, and we consider it an honor to be a part of your journey. There's no one